Hebrews, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Do you see the point? As we see the day approaching. 1 Peter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
They're coming round again.
We're talking about pastoral care. I could have used another 50 or so different illustrations. You get the drift. What is our love lived out looking like as a church? Because that's in essence what pastoral care is. How we live and love and laugh together. Through tears, through joy, through everything that life throws at us. But I settled on the Galatians reading because I love the idea and the metaphor of carrying one another's burdens. When I was a teenager, I was involved in the synod youth work of Yorkshire Synod, the best synod, Yorkshire Synod. And we did a sponsored 50-mile walk. Yeah, I know, some of you are going, you did a sponsored 50-mile walk? I know. Around bits of the North Yorkshire coast, stopping on the way at various churches to kind of bless them and to sleep on their hall floor at night. Now, the only reason I remember it, and I remember it quite vividly, because three quarters of the way around the second day of the week, I developed the world's biggest blister. It was so large, it actually confounded the doctor who was on the team. I've never seen a blister so big. So as we all know, I'm good at growing things, gallstones, extra wisdom teeth that have appeared this past month. Blisters, it's a ministry. And it really hurt. It really hurt. It covered the whole of my foot. I may have just exaggerated slightly. The only way I got round and finished that day's walking was through the help and the encouragement I got. Was literally the people who said, I am going to carry your rucksack for you. I am going to push your gargantuan bottom over the stile. I'm going to make sure that you finish this. And that's what did it, that literally got me to the end of the journey that day. People's help every step of the way. And I think that's a metaphor for how we are to be together. About bearing and bearing one another's burdens. About walking beside one another. Our reading started off with the idea that those who walk closely with the Spirit will tell the truth to one another, because that's what those who walk in the Spirit do. That's what Christian friends do. Not just there for carrying burdens, but also for truth-telling.
Yes.
In love, forgiving and restoring one another. I wonder if that's what love looks like to you. Does that look like pastoral care to you? Now, as you all know, I'm a mum to Rebecca. Now, if Rebecca was repeatedly doing something wrong, my job as her mum would be to step in. It would be to point out the error of her ways. It would be not to swoop in and remove her from the situation, but to hold up a mirror and say, do you know what? That's really not helping you at the moment. Perhaps you need to reconsider what you're doing. Or just stop. That's not just my job. It's also her dad's job too. But it's also the job of those that I trust with her. If Rebecca, I can say this because she's not here, was messing around in breakout, I would expect Dan to point that out to her, or anyone who I trust with her. I would expect others to speak truth into her life. Because as Paul says to the Galatians, that's one part of carrying one another's burdens. And there's been times, even as your minister, when people have done that to me. When I've done something wrong, or I've misunderstood or misheard something, and then there are times when people have had the courage to say, Louise, Dan and Kath have done that, Lynn has done that, Jane has done that, you need to rethink this, you need to think about what you're doing. And they've rightly challenged me, because that's what love looks like. When you think of the word pastoral care, is that what you think of as pastoral care to one another? Would you do that to someone you love and trust in this church? If you see somebody going down a road that is unhealthy for them, would you say, this is not healthy for you? But Paul says that's actually what love looks like. I know some of you would say, well, that's not my job as a Christian. That's your job as a minister. That's the elder's job. Well, yes, there's some aspects of church discipline that belong to the minister and the elders. But walking alongside one another, being friends in Christ, bearing each other's burdens is a whole church responsibility. And today we're rethinking about what that might look like as we look at the pastoral care of this church. Excuse me. The elders and I commissioned Kath to do a review of how we do pastoral care. Because we discovered as we talked to one another that we all have very different expectations about what pastoral care in the church looks like. About what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And those differing expectations mean that sometimes there's disappointments when things have not been done the way that other people think should be done. We've got different expectations as what I should be doing, what the elders should be doing. And it's good to name them. My minister, Robert, from my sending church in Leeds, was ordained a little bit after Adam and Eve. I'm not joking. I don't know anybody who'd been in ministry so long. He was trained in the model that the minister, the man, always a man in his day, would spend the morning at his desk, and he would spend the afternoon in his parish with his parishioners, drinking tea and sorting out their souls. Lovely. What a lovely idea. Now, let's be a bit realistic here. There's more of you than I have afternoons. And that's more tea than I can humanly drink. But that is still a model that some people expect of their minister. And I'm sorry if that has disappointed you, but that's no longer a realistic model in a busy church like ours. Pastoral care cannot be just that. It has to be far more. We have to carry one another's burdens all together, not just because it gets the job done, because that's our calling as Christians. Jesus said this in John's Gospel, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the question basically we want to challenge you with today is what does our love look like to one another? A new commandment I give you, says Jesus. It's not a brand new commandment. He's basing this on Leviticus 19. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. And he's ramping up the commitment. He says, don't just love your neighbor as yourself, but love one another as I have loved you. That's a high calling. That's a big jump in expectation to love like Jesus, to set a standard that shapes our lives, that is modeled on Jesus, a life expressed by love for one another. I wonder what that looks like for you in how you live with one another here in this congregation. The love that we have received in Jesus is our motivation to love one another. Jesus' last prayer recorded in the New Testament is that people will know the love of God that flows out to a needy world. He says this in John 17, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself be in them. So what does that look like? What does that practically look like in our life together? Well, there's lots of examples that we could share with one another. And before you get the idea that I'm saying that I think we're all rubbish at pastoral care, I am not saying that at all. There are some extraordinary sacrificial acts that I see every day in how people love one another, most of which goes unnoticed. I'm not saying we're rubbish at pastoral care at all. But how can we all be on the same page, as it were? At the end of the service, everybody is going to get one of these leaflets that that Kath has written that explains our thinking behind what we're talking about today. It details more fully than we're able to do today some of the things that the elders and the staff team have been thinking and praying about. So what I'd like you to do, everybody has a named copy, which we'll give out at the end of the service. I didn't want you reading whilst I was preaching. I'd like everyone to go home and spend time reading this and thinking about who you are in the life of this church and how we can more purposefully and actively support one another. And it details all the places in the middle where within our church life that we offer different levels of support, both formally and informally, for one another. I thought I'd go through some of them. Some of them are obvious, where pastoral care happens organically and naturally. In fellowship groups, put your hand up if you're in a fellowship group. Marvellous, that's the majority of you, fabulous. Small groups are a fantastic biblical way of getting to know one another, of sharing your life and opening God's word together. Now, we hope that every fellowship group is a safe place to be honest with one another, to grow together, to walk out your faith. It's a place where you get to know people at a deeper level. I'd like to encourage you, if you're not part of a fellowship group, speak to Kath, we'll find you one. We might need to make some more. It would be great if every single person in this congregation was part of a fellowship group. That's a way where you can get pastoral care in the life of this church. Prayer support. There's lots of ways in which you can be prayed for. We have a prayer book at the back, which we use every Sunday morning. We have a prayer ministry team. You could pray with one another I know many of you meet up in the week in formal and informal ways to pray together. You can pray with your elder. If there's an urgent, confidential prayer need, we have a prayer chain team, a group of 10 or so, who will pray something dedicatedly for you. That's pastoral care. Friendships. I know some of you meet, go shopping. I know some of you go to the cinema together. You show love to one another. I want to encourage that. Practical ways to show love to one another. I'm going to embarrass someone. I know Enid and Barbara meet up for tea during the week. I know that. That is pastoral care. They don't need me to be there to tick the box of pastoral care. They are being friends to one another. And that happens in all sorts of ways, seen and unseen. I'd like to encourage us to be proactive and do that more and more. There's lots of friendly places where we can get support and encouragement. Over a coffee at this, after the Sunday service, at men's drinks, at men's breakfast, at the bookshop, at coffee, cake and communion. That is also pastoral care. And we have a more formalised way too, of the elders and the staff team and I. Of course, the elders in the United Reformed Church, every elder has a pastoral group. And how each elder does that differs according to their own giftings. We have a lovely bunch of elders, but they're not all the same. Some are great at organisation. Some are great at pastoral care. Some are great at strategic thinking. Some are great at kicking the minister up the bottom. They've all got different skills and gifts. Some work full-time, some are retired. But what's true for all of them is this. They promise that they will pray for the members of their group to be there if you get in touch with them and you let them know your need. It's not always, if you've been in hospital for 3 weeks and you've told no one, we're not gonna know. They promise that they will support you. And if they're not the best person to support you, they will find another way. Within this new relationship of us all caring for one another, for that to be done, when that is appropriate. My role is to oversee all of the pastoral care in the church, to help train and support the elders and the pastoral assistants to exercise the ministry of pastoral care so all are fed and cared for. Communion. We serve communion in church once a month and at coffee, cake and communion. If you're unable to get to church, if you're housebound and you want communion, we have ways in which that can be arranged. George and I, and in the future Tony, we will be taking out pastoral, we're offering pastoral care in homes by giving home communion. We've mentioned the pastoral assistants, Margaret and Kathleen, the team of pastoral assistants. Each of the elders has, hopefully growing the team. Hopefully, each of the elders will soon have a pastoral assistant who will help the elders in the pastoral care that they offer. And that's done in different ways. It might be a phone call, it might be a visit. But it's pastoral care. It's on behalf of the elders and the church. So that doesn't mean if the minister hasn't visited you, if the elder hasn't visited you, it might have been one of the pastoral assistants. Or it might have been one of your friends. That's still pastoral care. As we heard a few weeks ago, we have the great partnership with Reach Counselling. If we need more in-depth support from a professional Christian counsellor, that is available to us. The leaflets are available dotted around the church if you want to know more information. and volunteer support, where we've got about 80 different volunteers in this church doing different roles each week. And it's important that how we care for one another. So we're thinking about that, and we're introducing a new system of volunteer support, which builds on the old link elder system. But that also is pastoral care. Now, you might think, oh, that's all rockets. It's not. It's of course, Louise. Yeah, of course. Of course. This is pastoral care. And all of this is detailed in here. And I want you to spend some time thinking about what we've said and what's said in the leaflet. Because this is what pastoral care looks like in our church from here on in. We want everyone's expectations and thinking to be on the same page as we move forward. In a fortnight, Kath is going to speak to us. Kathy's done the main body of work on this, about the second part of our thinking about what pastoral care looks like in a fortnight's time. So do be here, if you can be, to hear what she has to say to us in a fortnight. Or calling us to love one another. And yes, it's a 1-point sermon yet again. It's a recognition that actually, if we want pastoral care to flourish, if we want all to feel loved and supported, then that is a whole church ministry. We're all in this together. That sounds like a song from High School Musical, but it's true. We are all in this together. The Bible uses one word, lots of different words for love, but one of the words is the word agape. And that's the kind of love that we're called to have together, an agape love, a love which always looks for the other, a love that sacrifices some time, a love that sees the need and responds, because that's the sort of love that Jesus had for us. And that's our calling, to be the kind of church that is known for our love for one another. So my challenge to you today is, how do you do that? You may not be called to be an elder, although I'm hoping that we do get some new ones. You might not be called to be a pastoral assistant. You might not be called to be a fellowship leader. But every single one of us is called to be a friend and a Christian in this church. How can you do that? How can you live that out in ways that see the need of one another? Perhaps you can do Enid and Barbara. Find someone who's lonely this week. Invite them round for tea. Perhaps it's a phone call. Perhaps it's noticing who's not here. We're all called to love one another. A new commandment I give to you, says Jesus, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We're going to have communion now, where the most tangible example of how love was shown to us by Jesus when he spread his arms out and died for us. We're going to sing together. As we prepare for communion, Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice.